We're going to get our Bibles open straight away today and have a think together about something about the resurrection. So we're going to have our Bible reading from 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. Boys and girls, if you can get eyes on a Bible, perhaps look over a grown-up shoulder and see if you can read along with us. But we're in 1 Peter chapter 1 and we're going to be picking the reading up at verse 3. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And see if you can spot the reference to the resurrection of Jesus in this reading. So here we go. Peter writes to a church and he says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." This is God's word to us today. Now hold that open in front of you if you're here and at home. Keep that in front of you. And this morning, I just want us to think together on this Easter Sunday morning about two words. Boys and girls, if you're with me, here's the two words we're going to think about. And they are the words, whoops, we'll pick that one up in a minute. They are the words, living hope. Can we say that together? Living hope. Now that's what we're going to think about this morning. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have living hope. Jesus' resurrection gives us living hope. Have a look with me, if you've got your Bible, at verse 3. This is where we're going to spend our time this morning. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus' resurrection, Easter Sunday, the events that we're remembering today, give us living hope. Now, we're going to think quickly about this word hope. Now, hope is something that we're looking forward to, something that we're expecting to happen. So we've used the word a lot this year, haven't we? This word hope. Hope that vaccines will come. Hope that lockdowns will end. You know, I'm hoping that I might get to see my family in the summer. It's those kind of things. It's something that we're looking forward to. And on Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus gives us something to look forward to. It gives us hope. And it's not just any old hope. It's described here, look at verse 3, it's described as, can we say it together? Living hope. Now we've got to think this morning about what that means. What does it mean that we have been given living hope? We get hope, looking forward to something, but what's a living hope? Now two things I'm going to show you this morning about this phrase, living hope. Here is what we've been given as Christians through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. First thing I want us to see is that a living hope means that as Christians, those trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, we have the hope of life. We have the hope of life. That is the hope of a resurrection just like Jesus had on Easter Sunday. That the hope of coming out of our graves, walking free with life, that is what we have on Easter Sunday. Life after death. Life with Jesus forever. Living hope means we have the hope of life. Now, I don't know if you guys like Coco Pops. Anyone like Coco Pops here? Yeah, a few of you do. We are big Coco Pops in our house. I know we shouldn't eat them. I know they're bad for you and all that kind of stuff, but that doesn't mean we don't love them. And we are such big Coco Pop fans that at one point we even had a box that said if you send off a certain number of tokens, you can get a Coco Pop spoon with your name on it. And we thought, well, this is an offer that cannot be denied. We have to take this offer up. And so we didn't just get one spoon. We didn't just get two spoons. We got three spoons with our name on it. And so we sent off our tokens and we applied for these spoons. And eventually the first spoon arrived. And it had our name on it. And we were like, whoa, the Coco Pop spoon. But there was no sign of the other two. But because we had the first spoon, there was hope that the others were on their way. Because we had the first one in our hand, because we were able to eat a bowl of Coco Pops with the spoon with our name on it, we knew that the other two were coming. And the same is true when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus. Not to put it kind of too rudely, but the first spoon has arrived. Jesus is alive. And the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope of resurrection to come. The first spoon has come, so we know that the others are on their way. It gives us hope, something to look forward to, something to expect that there is life to come. Now, what kind of life is it going to be? Well, have a look at your Bible, verse 4. He begins to get us into this wonderful life that's promised to us. He says it's an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's an inheritance that's, where is it kept? In heaven. See, one of the things about this life is that things wear out, don't they? So you buy a pair of shoes and you wear them enough and they wear out. You buy clothes and they get holes in them and they wear out over time. You buy food from the supermarket. You buy an apple a couple of weeks later. That apple may be a bit moldy or rotten or squishy or not tasting so good. Stuff in this life perishes. It spoils. It fades. But the life that we're looking forward to is not like the life we know now. It's not like this life where things break and spoil and fade and perish. It's life everlasting. It's life without things that perish, spoil, and fade. Does that sound good to you? That's the life that Easter Sunday gives us the hope of. The hope of life to come. And the resurrection of Jesus, Easter Sunday, having a living hope, when we use that phrase, we're meaning that it gives us the hope of life. Now, I want us to see, if you look at the Bible again, look at verse 3. This hope of life that Easter Sunday gives to us today is a gift. Did you notice that? Have a look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into this living hope. He gives us this hope. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you try hard to get. It's given to us. And it has to be given to you. And the reason that it has to be given to you, boys and girls, is that we are born into a family that doesn't end with life. It sadly ends with death. I don't know if you recognize this sign. Some of you will see this. Anyone know what this sign is? Anyone recognize it? Some of the grown-ups may have to help the little ones say, what's this sign? It's the dead end sign. And so if you've ever been driving and you're looking for somewhere and you go down one of these roads, you've made a mistake because it goes nowhere. It's a dead end. It stops. And we are born into a family that you might call the dead end family. It's a family where we're born, but it's a dead end because life ends in death. And not just physical death. The Bible talks about spiritual death. Our life ends being cut off from God forever. We're cut off from God because we haven't loved God the way we should. We haven't loved our neighbors as we should. Some of us even treat God like he doesn't exist and we don't really care what he says. And because of that, we are born into the dead end family, a family that ends being cut off from God. And Peter describes this family as a way of life that is handed down to us from our ancestors. He describes it as an empty way of life, a dead end way of life. But the great news about Easter is that God had mercy on us. See, look at verse 3 again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it tell us? In his great mercy. See, God looks on at us in this world, in our dead-end family, that we live life and it ends in death, and not just physical death, but death being cut off from him forever. And God is moved by that. God is compassionate about that. God feels pity for us. And Easter declares to us that he did something about it. He sent Jesus into this world. And do you know what? Jesus was born into the dead-end family. He was born into the family that would end in death. And that's what happened to Jesus. On Good Friday, Jesus died on a cross. And he wasn't just dying physically. He was also cut off from God. Some of you will remember the words that Jesus spoke on the cross where he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was cut off from God so that we might be born into a new family, that we might be born into God's family, which is the family of life, that does not end in death, that does not end being cut off from God, but we end in life, the hope of life, resurrection with Jesus forever. Jesus took the separation from God that we deserve, so that we could be born again, have a fresh start in a new family, not one that ends in death, but one that ends in life, one that has the hope of life. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, his compassion for this world, he has given us new birth, a fresh start into a new family that doesn't end in death, but ends in life, the hope of life. As we trust in the Lord Jesus, as we trust in what he did at the cross, and we trust in his resurrection, we are given a place in the new family, a family that ends with the hope of life, not the hope of death. His resurrection. Now here's the thing, it's Easter Sunday, we're celebrating Jesus rising from the dead. Here's what it means to have a living hope. His resurrection gives me hope of my resurrection. His life on that day gives me the hope of life when I die, to be with him forever. No wonder, verse 3, look at your Bibles if you've got it there. No wonder Peter bursts out and he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a reason to praise God on Easter Sunday. We have lived this world, this year, with being faced with death every day, statistics about death. And praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us new birth, not into a dead-end family, but into one that has the hope of life. Do you know the hope of life this morning? Perhaps you're tuned in at home and as yet you don't know that hope. Which family do you belong to? The dead end family or the life family? Ask Jesus today, if you haven't already, to give you birth into this new family, to give you living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, if someone asks you, oh yeah, living hope, you've been given living hope if you're a Christian. What does that mean? Thing number one, can you say this with me? It means the hope of life. You have the hope of resurrection life after we die to be with Jesus forever. But here's the second thing, okay? We need to think. Living hope, does it just mean the hope of life? No, it means something else as well. It means, and let me get the words up, having a living hope means that we are able to live a life of hope. So I know it's just flipped around, but it works, okay? Here we go. Living hope means that you can now live a life filled with, shaped by the hope of life. I want to tell you the story this morning of a man named Louis Zamperini. Anyone heard of Louis Zamperini? Yeah, one person has heard of Louis Zamperini. Louis Zamperini was an Olympic runner. He was born in 1917, and he was born in New York, and he was a long-distance runner. And he was an amazing runner. He was very good. But during the Second World War, he got called up to serve in the U.S. Air Force. And he had to fly planes over the Pacific Ocean. And sadly, on one of his missions, the plane that he was flying had mechanical problems, and him and the whole crew had to land the plane in the sea. He then got into a lifeboat that was on the boat, on the aircraft, and for 47 days, they floated around in the sea. Eventually, they washed up on an island. The sad thing was that this island was occupied by the enemy. And so they were captured, and they were put in a prisoner of war camp. And they were there for a really long time. And Louis was treated really badly. Louis was tortured, he was beaten, he was starved, he was moved to different prisoners of war camps, and life was really difficult. But eventually, they were released. They were released from the prisoner of war camp, and he got to go back to America, and he got to see his family and friends again. But when asked, what is it, Louis, that kept you going when things were so hard? What is it that kept you kind of alive and rejuvenated and kept you hanging on when things were so difficult? Do you know what he said? Hope. Hope is what kept him going through those years of being tortured and beaten and things being so hard. Listen to what he said. I'm going to quote him now. This is his words. He says, you must have hope. It rejuvenates your whole being. Hope provides the power of the soul to endure. And so I've got a little picture here. This is what Louis would say to us today. He's not alive anymore, but this is what he would say to us. Hope gives you, can you do that with me? Hope gives you power to endure. Now I tell you the story of Louis, because actually what he says about hope is even more true for the Christian than it was for him. It is absolutely true that the hope of life, this living hope, having hope, empowers you to live a life of hope. It empowers you to endure through hardships. The Christians that Peter writes to, if you've got your Bible, just grab a Bible. The Christians that Peter writes to are scattered. Look at verse 1. To God's elect, exiles. That means they're scattered throughout all these different places. They're Christians who are suffering. Look at verse 6. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. It is to struggling, scattered, suffering Christians that Peter writes, and he says, you have been given living hope. You have something that is alive, active, changes you, living hope. Louis's hope of being released, Louis's hope of being set free from the prisoner of war camp, that wasn't a certain hope. He didn't know that was going to happen. It kept him going, and it rejuvenated him every day, but he didn't know for sure. Whereas for the Christian, we have a living hope grounded on the facts of the resurrection. If you believe today that Jesus rose from the dead, then you have a certain hope of our life to come. And this hope has the power to shape us and to change us and to enable us to endure suffering. This hope is alive, it's living, it's active, it can do things in you. Having the hope of life means that you can live a life of certain hope, shaped by hope, fueled by hope. It's been a tough year, hasn't it? This is our second Easter as a church where we can't all be together. Many of us have endured difficult things this year. Some of us are still in very difficult places right now. Maybe you're tuned in at home and you're still in a very tough place. What can keep you going? What is it that can help you to endure through the times in which we're living? It is living hope. The hope that we've been given because of Jesus. See, a little bit later on, Peter says this to the Christians. Chapter 1, verse 13, if you've got a Bible, he says this. Set your hope. You've got to do this deliberately. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Are you struggling? Are you struggling with this season? Struggling with all that's going on? Let hope do its work. Are you letting hope shape you? Are you letting this living hope speak to you, address you, change you, even in the hardships? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a," what's it? "Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus' resurrection gives us living hope. What does that mean? It is the hope of life that empowers us to live a life of hope. May God help us to do that on this Easter Sunday. That is what you have been given if you're a Christian this morning. And that is what you can have if you turn to Jesus and ask him for it. Let's pray together, shall we? And then we'll sing a song. Father, we thank you this morning so much for giving us living hope on this Easter Sunday. Not a dead hope, an uncertain hope, but a hope that is grounded on the facts that our Lord Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb those 2,000 plus years ago. We praise you that this is the hope of life, not death. It is the hope of heaven rather than hell. Father, please help us to live lives of hope, lives that are shaped by hope, empowered by hope, rejuvenated by hope, this living hope that you have so graciously given to us as we turn to the Lord Jesus. Father, may this hope shape our lives and help us to endure this particular season that we're going through as a church and as a world. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.